Yeah, just getting us to finish the job.
Good evening.
My name is Ian Weber. And I play on Joe Harp. You probably know this instrument. You know this instrument?
Yeah. Insured.
and broke in without a sound. They took Mary from the warmth of her bed and bundled her into the van's hold, right in between the minimum wage gate, Freddy's fresh fish and chips, and the local meat processor's 12-hour-a-day cleaning job. Imelda was perched on top of the under-the-table, part-time, no-love, all-abuse, glass washer from Sick Mocker's stint at Barry's Bar. They exchanged worried looks, Mary and Imelda. More worrying, however, was the aura of contempt around the younger lad, John. He was sat beneath the barista's job at Coco's Cafe, where he'd be lucky to get paid the correct wage, let alone on time. He had enjoyed being at the mercy of the Poles and Nigerians' grip, because ever since he was shoveled into the middle of a hurling pitch by the spade of his father's hand, he has always felt like a stranger in a strange land. Thanks.
Death standing before me, naked, bearing its bones to the wind, rattling in a vice grip. It stole my pale white linen cloth, that vulture that crept into the window as I slept. Dreaming of milk and sugar in my hair as leaves and gently salted oceans that held me as I cleansed myself while staring at clouds. It stole in one night and undid the work of 17 years. One day before Easter, that vulture with heart monitor wings stole what my parents told me the good Lord had made. Hear the bagpipe, it's calling your name, but hear the train whistle, it's calling you home. Hear the lad cry, he's calling you back, but hear the wind shift, it's calling you still. I could not understand why they spoke of you as a rental for this world, an envelope to be returned to sender, and that now I was supposed to thank him for it. I never made you proud, you were stern with me and I was barefooted with you. I laughed like wheat and you drank like rivers after a flood, overflowing their banks and carrying straight leaves with them. My back was straight with joy and futures with no past and glory with no thorns. Your back was hunched with pressured veins and pills and angry pride. I knew the way the sea would rise in sadness and the thrones of grass and the voices of the mist-covered oak trees. But I never knew how to use a monkey wrench or a socket wrench or a screwdriver. I threw my soul against your walls to try to force pride to break free from the dam and pour over me, cleansing me of my sin. I offered my life as a sacrifice to you time and time again. I was Isaac and you were Abraham. Pride is our God, but your eyesight had already begun to fail. Hear the bagpipe, it's calling your name, but hear the train whistle, it's calling you home. Hear the lad cry, he's calling you back, but hear the wind shift, it's calling you still. What did you think as you stared at the dinner table, with civil wars raging and wine flowing too freely, bottles shattering as the drapes flutter from the cold wind blowing in and blowing out, rising only to fall back down again? I never found what I sought, what I wanted, what I needed. You died in the bedroom next to me. I saw the look in my grandmother's eyes as she ran out, and I knew. I saw my father and brother answering to the gasping, and I knew. They did the best that they could, but their grounding pull was not as strong as his lifting one. I knew, and I stared, and I knew. The dry heaving and clenched fist and gnashing Bible would come later. I could only watch and know that I will always be tied to Abraham's boulder. Hear the bagpipe, it's calling your name. Hear the train whistle, it's calling you home. Hear the lad cry, he's calling you back. Be a human shift, he's calling you still.
Thank you. Indeed, you never know, Margaret Sargent. This is called Words. I am trying to think of the word for the way your hand feels when someone who's been holding it too tightly suddenly lets go. The word for phantom fingers laced through your own and the cold tingle in your palm that tells you, no, you are alone. There must be a word for that, just like there must be a word for the moment when you realize that you ran into this burning house because it was on fire, and now the smoke is filling up your lungs, and you can't even remember what it was you were hoping to save in the first place. What's the word for that? You would know. We loved words, you and I. We wrapped them around ourselves, pulled them up to our chins, and stared out at the world. We could barely hear each other over our words. We papered our walls with them, filled the spaces in our beds, filled the spaces in ourselves. But sometimes words aren't enough, because I can only write I love you on your skin so many times before the letters all run together and you don't look loved anymore. You just look bruised. So tonight, I'm standing in a silent house, searching blank walls for a word I can't remember. But maybe this is not a night for words. Maybe this is a night to finally soak in the quiet. And maybe, just maybe, this is a night to feel.
This poet all waxen wings. The sadness and stillness of these boring streets, of a boring city, falls and rises as never before. Keeping lamplights flickering and the godhead asleep, since no tractors will pull us from where we live. Nothing alive, not a bit to talk about, not a word to anyone. The soul feels lost and desolate from our creator while we sleep, turning and tossing the same old melodies, same old songs, and stamp out the cliché I fear we have uncovered. Sadness hasn't killed my friend. It's a safe pleasure, I realise, as the dawn that opens the curtains is next to know. If you're leaving now, you know, the whole lot of me would understand, but not even sadness will stop me crying. As you turn and go your way outside, I guess that's all that's everlasting, coming from us, separate people, separate angels, born at different speeds.
This is called Songs Already Sung. I am floating in the heavens of catchy tunes and clouds of laughter while drowning in an ocean of deadlines and obligations, never knowing what will sweep me off my feet next. My heart, imagination, or head, words swirl around, but nothing gets written down. I struggle to piece two lines together, let alone two pages. It's not that I don't want to write, but that I can't. You see, I've started various pieces, but never get past the first few lines. Your eyes are what caught me. Your smile is what stayed. I'm transported to a world of shrapnel, gravel, heat, mud, bugs, snipers, and bombs, to a world of black and white where death is not a possibility, but a guarantee. Right and wrong have no home here, where the enemy is hard to see, but always near. In an us versus them world, friends are hard to find, especially when your brothers have all gone home. I've always been told you don't have to have an extraordinary life to be a poet. But who wants to hear about deadlines and stress, hushed carol conversations, poetic verse, and writer's block? There's not much I have worth telling that I have not already said. So what now? What comes after the end? I'm not saying my life is over, rather it's just beginning, but what happens after the stage directions end and the lights come up again? I've never made it this far, never watched this alternate ending. What happens after I have said all there is to say? Think about it. This movie is a remake of that. This book is influenced by those before it. Even history is starting to repeat itself. So what's next? What do I do when everything is a repeat, a knockoff, a remake? And when did version 2.0 become something to be shunned? Original means from my brain. Not that it's not in someone else's as well, but that this idea for me originated with me. It might have been inspired by others, but life is influenced and inspired by what is around us and our experiences. We are molded by what has affected us. We create from what we have available to us, reconning ideas from the fringes of our imaginations and borrowing from others as well. Yet even with all this swirling around in my head, I can't string 10 lines together. It's either not worth listening to, too cliche, or I don't feel I have the authority to tell that story. There's no guidebook for this. No do's and don'ts, no 10 simple rules, just trial and error. Life and death of a line, word, thought, feeling, life, and love. There is still so much that needs to be said, but these stories have been told too. So what am I to do when all the songs have already been sung?
Of dreams, I turn magic into fantasy, fantasy into reality. I would weave my carpet, wed all people, lay the foundation for a peaceful world. I'd mount my children on great white steeds, watch their joy as they gallop away. I'd take to the skies, climbing higher and higher, and on reaching the clouds, mingle and float with them. Acquaint myself with the sun, moon, stars, join their galaxies. Maybe meet a real alien, and he would say to me, I'd like to return with you, see a world. And I would reply, no, better stay here. With us, there is war, hatred. I would take leave of absence, for I miss my family, my kind. I am no dreamer, weaver of magic. I am a realist, I come down from the clouds. All is as it was. I dream like every human being, take flight when the need be. Escape, don't we all? I don't only dream, I'm a believer. I hope and trust for a brand new day. It won't be today, God only knows when. And for all of you out there, believers, non-believers, what does it matter? Perhaps someday we will all be united. Wouldn't it be lovely? Wouldn't it be just?
This is a poem about Steve Harris, who's a bass player with a band called Iron Maiden. Like Hendrix, you pushed your instrument to the fore and created a unique sound all your own. Nobody plays like you. Fast and melodious, full of sweet fills, your fingers tapping madly like mock swings. Slow and dulcet, the calm exquisite hand only a real bass player can bring. Fast or slow, a true metal hero, proud, you cut through like a sword. Thanks.
Also, but unlike Nihal's, it seems a bit self-indulgent compared to the harsh world of the migrants in England and so on that we saw, which was so well evoked. It's called Touching the Earth, and it's about the migration from the city to the land, often by people who don't know the first thing about the land. inspired by I Live in Shree by W.B. Yeats. They left the urban scene. Oh, sorry. Touching the Earth, Kilena, West Cork, with acknowledgements to W.B. They left the urban scene and went to Killiney, to a timber cabin there of dark stained pine logs made. Nine earth rows they dig and sow, hives for the vanishing bee. Oak and ash they have planted in the high beech glade. They are finding peace there, peace that seeps in slow, through the cobwebbed dew of morning, where the skylark sings. At night the bog is silvered, at noon the gorse aglow, and evening is often full of fleet swallows' wings. They are finding peace there. No, I don't know, I'm sorry. Encircled by bluebells and white thorn of May. Now they feel better grounded, an earthy change of gold. Dark, crumbly compost enriches the stony clay for tall bean shoots to twine tendrils on hazel poles. Far from the madding crowd, always night and day, they hear stream water gurgle through the mossy rocks. Even when in the city or on the motorway, in the mind's ear, the curlew's cry and the lone call of the fox. They frequent farmers' markets for taste bud tingling foods and cut up deadwood for the stove while desert oil runs dry. And though they curse the drizzle, it's part of nature's moods, and night might bring a sprinkle of stars in the dark velvet sky. Thanks.
Last but not least tonight is Mr. Carl Holden.
Hey, I was going to do a longer one. I think I'll do a short one. Very short. Let's go firebombing Dresden. Grim reality, oncology, caution, radiation, flashbangs, kickdowns, uniforms, I thought something to make things. The amazing Marlowe disappears. The firebombing Dresden.